without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast.
Love Life Legacy Podcast. It's a podcast.
We desire to share our love, life, and legacy with the hopes that it inspires, compels, and challenges others. We're all about growth and leveling up, and that is what we aim to do. Now, something that we would like everyone to understand is that this podcast is based on our opinions, framed from our life's experiences and perspectives. This is not to say that we are right and you're wrong. This is merely to challenge and elevate our lives, your life, and the conversations that surround the topics we speak on. Welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast.
You know what I just noticed watching the introduction video?
What's that?
I bet you guess you'll get it wrong. Not how much I touched you in the videos, but the videos captures my love journey.
See, you're gonna make me start coughing if you start making me laugh.
Welcome to the Love Life Legacy podcast. We are present 1.5.
I'm here.
1 3/4.
I'm here. I am here.
My hubby is a little under the weather. He has a little bit of bronchitis.
A little bit. This bad boy's kicking my behind.
He's going to owe me $20 per cough and mic today.
Don't make me laugh when you got you cheating already. Because if I laugh, I cough.
So therefore, you know, we want to make sure we keep him lively and entertained.
We will. Well, when the conversation starts, maybe I'll get, you know.
Yeah.
Boom chick, boom chick.
That's
boom,
right.
Boom chick.
That's right. So yeah, the videos capture my log journey.
It does. Mm-hmm. Your logs get long, man.
It was like this.
So I
at one point, but it grew up kind of long, you know.
So do you think you'll ever cut them? At what point do you think you'll cut them?
Well, you know, I've learned one thing about myself, being that this is my fourth lock journey.
Okay.
And this is the longest I've been locked. I'm so unpredictable, but right now I am enjoying the locks. I love being able to just get up and go.
Right.
I like the convenience. You know, it's not too bad when I got a little mini fro under the locks. You know, I can, you know, take care of it at my convenience.
I don't like the mini fro.
Yeah, you know, the mini fro just conveys so much. It's just saying how well my hair is growing. You know, I'm remaining natural, true to the motherland.
This is going to be hard.
So, yeah, so as well. But, yes, welcome.
Welcome. Well, we have a good conversation, I think.
It's an old conversation.
Well, yeah, it's an
old conversation. Mixed with a little bit of new thoughts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Going back through all of the relationship.
Not all now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Put no pressure
going
on us.
Back through
some
of the relationship movies that we have all seen and have grown in love with. And this week, we're going to be talking about another Tyler Perry classic, Why Did I Get Married?
One. And we're going to keep it to one, which is hard, but we can stay on one.
I think we can.
I think it's $5 for clearing your throat.
You can't do that.
Why?
I can't breathe hardly. You got to let me clear, let air get through. You are mean.
How mean?
Okay, let's go ahead and get this out the way.
Okay, what? I'm the mean one.
My wife doesn't respect the fact that I am sick.
It's not that I don't respect
she
the fact
that she doesn't
believe
that I am sick.
I do believe that
and
he's
this,
sick.
And this goes all the way back to when we were teenagers and you would say stuff like, you can't get hurt. You're Superman.
It is not
you
the same thing.
It is the exact same thing. So when I get sick and I'm down bad and I feel real bad, you be like, it's all in your head.
Well, okay, that's my
that's
issue.
Not true.
My husband, you guys, could think he's sick and he thinks himself into being
that's
sick.
That's not, babe, hold on. Can
we
I
need
pause
to have it? A panel with our girls.
Can I pause real fast?
To have this conversation.
Do you know that is a real conspiracy theory?
No, it's not a conspiracy
no,
theory.
No, that
it's
really
fact,
is.
Because it happens to you.
That's, babe.
If he thinks he's sick, his body would command
the
it.
The only it reason why out. I think that is because something's going on in my body that's not regular. So that's why the thought comes, like me having a cough attack and I can't breathe. That's not me thinking that I'm about to get sick. I'm like, okay, my body's
give them the timeline. Jonathan went into the garage. He cleaned out the vacuum.
I worked out. I worked out twice. I lifted weights twice in the garage.
We ain't talking about that part.
But that literally is the whole day.
Okay. He worked out in the garage.
Twice.
He cleaned out the vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's allergic to dust.
That's my top allergy.
Yep.
100%.
Uh-huh. And then he came in the house.
Washed.
After his cough attack.
Not after. No.
Oh.
I came in. And
you said, I think I'm sick.
No, I did not.
You said, I think I'm getting sick.
That's not what happened.
He went upstairs in 2.5 seconds and came down sick.
This is my point.
He scheduled a doctor
appointment. You're literally proving my point.
He went to the doctor
appointment. Because that's not how it happened at all.
It was a Sunday.
But because your bias.
Doctor's care had opened at 9 a.m. on a Sunday. By 9:17.
You're proving my point.
He had a confirmation.
You are literally proving my point.
And then immediately following on his drive home. He said, it's coming down on him hard.
You literally approved
And then he
point.
Said, I can't cook. And then he took the rest of the day because he was sick. If I believe, maybe this is my conspiracy, that if you said, man, I ain't getting sick, bump being sick, and went about your day, you wouldn't have got sick.
And we're back. All right. Like I was saying, I am sick in real life, and it takes you a lot of convincing, which I don't feel like I should have to convince my wife that I'm
sick.
This
is the only time.
I literally.
Maybe one or two others out of our whole 20 years of relationship, Jonathan.
Baby, you never believe when I'm sick.
I do believe when you're sick. I don't want to take care of you when you're sick.
That's not true. Did you take care of me this time?
I did.
Mm-mm.
I did.
I said, girl, you ain't come check on me.
Hey, I was working.
So your job more important than me?
Yeah, you come check on me when you at work.
Say what now?
You come check on me when you at work.
If something's wrong with you, I will.
You come. Okay, I'll hold you to it for next time.
When is something be? Hold up. If anybody is a superwoman or the super person, you a super person.
I was just sick, what, a month ago?
If you could have delivered your own babies, you would have. That's how strong you are.
I could do it.
You could do it now?
I could.
Now, let me ask you a question. Being that what we know about childbirth and delivery,
mm-hmm.
would you?
I've been a doula.
No. Request to do it in a standing position?
I would.
Okay. I always thought it was interesting.
I see techniques when you stand up against a wall.
And squat?
Mm-hmm.
Girl, you know how hard that is?
No, I mean, you.
I know what you mean.
Oh, okay.
You ever did a wall squat?
No, but you know, it's not a wall squat. You're just, it's not, I know what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
So okay. I'm just not standing mid floor, you know, trying to catch.
I mean, it makes sense. Gravity. Push
my baby Jackson. That I'm supposed
How you
to
strike
have.
That from the air? How you throw something on that? We ain't having no more kids, man. Five and done. Anyways, let's get to the conversation. We are talking about why did I get married part one?
Why did we?
That's a great question.
I can tell you why we got married.
Go ahead, because I know why, but you go ahead.
I was forced into marriage.
I knew you was going to say that.
At a very young, tender age of 19.
And how old was I? Because when you say words like force, you make it seem like I was so much older and I have mind control and I could manipulate. How old was I?
You looked.
How old was I? I'm talking about how I look. How old was I?
You were at the tender age of 18.
18.
Mm-hmm.
And who's older?
Oh, I'm older.
Oh,
yeah.
So I was forced.
Yeah. Oh, no, okay. I was forced.
No, I was forced.
How?
If you're the older one. Uh-huh. And I'm the young, but impressionable
you were bigger.
Lamb of God. I was forced.
No, you was not forced.
Whatever. Well, I know why
If I forced you, then you wouldn't have been offended by my marriage day comment. What was my comment?
You know, one of these days, you are really going to own up how mean of a person you really
you
are.
You really think I'm
Bro,
mean?
Bro, you are brutal.
Brutal?
Hold on. Say that word again.
Brutal? Y'all know I got speech impediment.
Brutal.
Brutal?
Yeah, man.
I was brutal?
Dog.
But you love that honesty, that candidness.
Who said that?
The all of me.
Who said that?
You get what you how you say it? You get what you see.
You get what you see?
Kind of person. But you are too.
Not.
You taught me to be like this.
Huh?
Babe, you are very straightforward, direct, but you don't like it back. Because you used to say, you know, I beat the bush. I don't beat around the bush. That's you. But if I beat the bush, there's something wrong with it.
Why I gotta beat a bush, though? I don't make you the bush.
You think you the bush? You I feel like, me I, like I be feeling like I be the bush.
No, that's not true. Hold up. How I make you feel like the bush is like telling you no.
Yeah.
No, that's not the same.
But if I tell you no, it's a big issue too. You don't like no.
Depending on what it is.
Because you see it as a rejection.
No, that.
Baby, those were your words.
It's depending on what it is.
And that's what it is for me too.
You are so manipulative. If I tell you no, I don't feel like you laying on me right now.
Your body's not your own.
I was bought with a price.
Because if there are times when I don't feel like being intimate, you know, my body's not my own.
I knew you was gonna go there.
Yeah.
You better toot that thing up. Let's get it going. Give
myself away.
You and your booty. Lord, please forgive us.
Stupid.
All right. Yeah,
Excuse me. Why did you get married, sir?
I got married because I
answer it for you?
Why you? Okay. You going to ask me and then answer it
because
for me?
Because you said this before. You said.
Go ahead.
I wanted to make an honorable woman out of you.
First of all, my desire to get married goes back before then. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the moment of marrying.
Man, get out of here. Why did I get married, Eva?
To make an offer.
I wish I had my sound effects. I was like, give me a slap.
Pow. You got married because you feel it's your life purpose to be a husband and a father.
Yes, my life's purpose.
You know what I came to the epiphany of?
Did you have it on yourself?
No, I came to the epiphany that I was made to be a wife.
You were made to be a wife. Yes.
Like, my purpose was to be a wife.
Eve, mother of all living.
Yeah, but it just, you know, took some years to get through to me. But yeah, like, I just revisited that thought on yesterday when I was driving, or whatever day it was. Yeah, yesterday when I was driving.
Okay.
I was like, I was seriously meant to be a wife. Like, that was a purpose of mine. Yeah.
You want to elaborate or expound at all? Or you repeated the same thing twice and ain't give no clarity.
Because it was so shocking, because I was always in denial about being married. Mm-hmm. Because how I saw marriages played out. You know.
You look really good on camera, by the way.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Not necessarily how marriage played out, but how I perceived the marriage of, you know, my mom and my biological father. You know, they've been married for 15 years, and then they got a divorce when I was 4, and it was just certain things that I just knew I didn't want. So that was my hurt covering my purpose of marriage.
That makes sense.
But even as a teenager and in my mistakes, I tried to strive to be a married woman.
Right.
You know, so not to get too transparent, but I don't know how else to make the connection without. But, you know, even in losing my virginity, and then you understanding in scripture that in those days and times, that was synonymous with being married. At my tender age, I was willing to live that out to the end. And that was one reason why, you know, I didn't want to move on from that relationship. And to be completely frank, if you didn't come through, I probably would end up married young anyways in that situation. Because I was like, I've always valued marriage, but I knew I only wanted it a certain way. You know what I'm saying? I didn't realize that until later, and like how I carried myself, and you know, and even in your age of, you know, being 8 and realizing that, or coming to the grips that, hey, I want to be a husband and father. I think at a young age you saw that in me before underneath my hurt of not wanting to be married, but you saw the characteristics that I displayed, how I carried myself, how I talked. I didn't talk like the other girls at school and stuff like that. So
you carried yourself like you were a wife, like how you hear a lot of people say.
Yeah, but you wouldn't think that a 16-year-old would do that. But when I look back at how mature we were when we were together, you know, and was like, man, we was really mature for 16. And when I look at 16-year-olds now, you know, we 16 or 17 on a beach talking about properties and investment. And it's like,
and what our future's going to look like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know Jalen had no conversation about no properties or investment or.
Or even even the family structure. We used to, you know, I know we always go back to the beach scene, but even when we were on the phone, we would talk about for what family looks like, You know, we would talk about children. We would talk about marriage. We would talk about careers. We would talk about the future all the time and what that looks like.
But I didn't remember us talking about them as if we were together.
No,
but we were just talking, and I think that's how we built our friendship because we realized that we had a lot of the same values.
Yeah.
The same way how we would encourage new couples to have those types of conversations.
Have to.
And it's just crazy
all how... All of those are void and absent now.
Yeah, but we lived that out naturally as...
teenagers.
Yes, without the coaching. But that's it was in us.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So asking the question, you know, to piggyback into conversation we're about to have... Why do you want to get married? You have to know why. And I think,
come later like me.
Or come later like you?
Yeah, because my reason for understanding why did I get married, you know, it depends on what stage of the life you caught me.
Okay.
If you caught me at the beginning of marriage, I got married because, you know, it was the right thing to do. Jonathan, you know, wanted our family to be under one roof. I've already had Jayla. And, you know, it was a win-win for us all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did love you. My voice. Are we $5? I did love you and all of that. But it was like, I just knew I wanted to explore my career, you know, go to finishing school and all of that. And I thought I couldn't do that and be in marriage. So first 5 years, it's like, I got married for this reason. You know, as we approach year 10, okay, I got married because that's when we were in our church mode and understanding purpose. Okay, we have a purpose. We're creating legacy. You know, after 10 years, okay, the purpose is because now we have to live out legacy and we believe in this family dynamic. As of yesterday, man, I was really purposed for this thing.
Why do you think it takes so much for... some women to like quantify, like y'all have to quantify everything. Like if I said I know I wanted to be married since I was 8 years old because I valued family and that's all I need. I don't have to go through the steps. Why do you think it's so necessary for y'all to go through the steps sometimes?
I think in your upbringing, you were able to do more introspection,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you processed the hurt of your father very young. Most people don't do that until they're older.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and you in those ages, you took your, you know, the weaknesses and all of that, and you created that for you. You created something positive out of that at a very young age, you know. And for me, because life just kept happening in a way I was internalizing it, it just took me a longer time to get there. Now, at a young age, do I know I understood that I could be a good wife, and I grew in love with that. Maybe year two, year three, you know, I started changing, listening more, you know, doing the wifely like things, but that was just for that moment, you know, owning it the way that I see it now. It's like, man, this was always in me. Just like how you say my love for project management, those stuff was always in me. I didn't know that until you told me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm so focused on the doing and the actions. You know, what I focus on building what I need to external because I'm in survivor mode. And now that, you know, I have kind of a soft life. My throat now. I'm able to take that time out and just think in me being appreciative of where I am.
What do you mean kind of a soft life?
Because you said, when you told me about soft life.
Baby, you have been living a soft life since you've been 18 years old.
I thought it was you don't have to work and stuff.
No, that's not necessarily what it means.
Well, yeah, my life real soft.
that's not, it's taking a step back and not having to worry about always having your hands on and being responsible for everything. You're taken care of.
And I think that was my first transition in our marriage, realizing that I didn't have to do those type of things. Because the first part, I was still in defense mode, still thinking you're going to leave. Oh, this ain't going to work. He don't even know why he married me. And then also understanding my low self-esteem at that time. That's why I used to always ask you, now, will you marry me for again? Mm-hmm. Just because I had the baby don't mean you had to marry me. You know, I was fine, you know, because I didn't see what you valued in me. Because I didn't see my value at the time. And I thought I had to achieve the value.
You don't remember what I always used to say? I said, you don't see what I see in you now,
yep,
you but you that. Will one day.
And I do.
Say that all the time. Mm-hmm. All you the did. Time. It's because maybe I didn't understand me operating in my gift at that time. I just knew what I saw. And sometimes maybe I'm not the best communicator in how I can. I can communicate well. But with talking to you, if I can't find metaphors and analogies that make sense, mm-hmm. sometimes I just have to lean back on, you just got to believe me.
Yeah. You know? It was hard to. You
it know. Was. It was.
It was hard to believe you because I just didn't see me being special. When I saw my other friends had kids really young, you know, their promise of relationship from their mates. You know, what makes me special?
But I ain't look, damn
no. I understand that, but what do I have to go on? You know, think about it from my perspective. He's from the project. You know, look at all the things that you had, you know, that I could quantify that we ain't really going to work. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, okay. He's getting us an apartment before he turns 18.
I had that thing you locked. Know? I'm different.
Oh, he really moving me out my mama house because he don't want me to stay
yeah,
here.
I'm different. I'm yeah. different.
Oh, he move us in all by himself because I didn't want to help him because I was mad.
You are brutal. Listen, if you, you know? Really this sit back and think, babe, you put me through HE double hockey sticks
and
times
and you returned
two.
It. Times five.
We put each other through.
Okay. But yeah, so when it comes to, and that's taking me to a point, getting back to the movie, Why Did I Get Married? One, I wish that it went into their backstories a little more.
Right, maybe so they did could, like flashbacks a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, like if we saw, you know, them when they first started dating, like if we could see the story of why did they get married? Like we see where they're at, you know, and then how, you know, when Patricia, which is played by Janet Jackson, you know, when she was in the classroom, you know, talking about the book she wrote, Why Did I Get Married? And they gave a little glimpse of them, but it gave them in the now. But I don't know why they got married. And right. understanding that love isn't enough, you know, why did Terry and Diane get married? I know they dated in college, you know, things like that. Why did Mike and Sheila, mm-hmm. you know, and Gavin?
I definitely want to know why Marcus and Angela got married.
Yeah.
Like, that was very interesting.
That
like,
was. So I don't know why they got married. And the movie also leads me to think, you know, why did they stay married?
Mm-hmm.
I understand why, you know, Sheila and Mike didn't, you know.
Well, they said that they loved each other. And even at the table... we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but even at the table before our chaos broke loose, it was Patricia that said, you know, she gave a little speech. She was like, well, we love each other. And her thing was always, we love each other.
But love isn't enough.
Love isn't enough. And part two.
Don't get into part two.
You're
going to
see that love ain't enough.
Love isn't enough.
It's not. So let's go through these characters real quick.
Okay.
All right. So. Talking about the movie, Why Did I Get Married? Part one, what do we think about Marcus and Angela?
This is going to sound crazy, but okay. I really think Marcus and Angela have the potential to have the longest marriage out of all four of the couples.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I do. Because Angela and Mark, first of all, the telltale sign that they can make it through anything is how they handle the infidelity in their marriage.
Right.
You know, we can't forget that Angela said, boom. You know, she said that she had sex with Walter and Marcus was able to move on from it. And I think
after he choked her out.
After he choked her out. I mean, but he was able to move on from it. But he said, you're evil. But the fact is that Marcus and Angela, the reason why I would put money on their relationship because they have the space to be open and transparent. They don't send their representatives mm-hmm. into their relationship. Angela can be as, you know, candid. And Marcus, that's just, it's Wednesday. That's what he said at the counter. Like, get your wife. It's just Wednesday. And I think that level of authenticity and transparency can help them overcome some situations. Now, is that to say that they can't decide not to be together? Sure, they can decide not to be together, but it won't be a communication issue as I could see in the rest of the couples.
Right.
Right. They don't have to hide. And I think being able to be yourself, your true self, and the soft side of Angela, you know, once, you know, she saw that Marcus could step up for her and, you know, talk to Keisha and, you know, how you know, she was willing to compromise. You know, it took her a minute. She had to drink his wine too at the end when he asked her to stop drinking. But she was so willing to work on it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think
so why did it take him to have to blow up the way that he did for her soft side to come out?
Because Marcus wasn't living right either. And that was seen. He was still sleeping with Keisha, so he couldn't correct her. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until that car moment, until he had enough of their marriage going wrong, and really, without saying it, taking responsibility for where the marriage was going. Because, hey, if I fix me, I can calm down Angela.
Right.
And if I fix me and stop giving, you know, I don't know those sweet words he whispering to Keisha. And he can't correct Keisha if he's still going to be sleeping with Keisha.
Right.
So it wasn't until he actually become the man in a relationship and put his foot down and start making decisions in the right direction that he was able to calm both of them.
Okay, so she acted the way that she did because he was not stepping up and he was sleeping with Keisha.
Yeah.
So was there anything that she was doing that was making him still not step up and sleep with Keisha?
Well, again, all we got is the loud side of Angela. I don't know Angela as a wife, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know, but I know Marcus tied her always yelling, but I know he still deal with her, and he didn't have to.
And not only that, but the constantly throwing, you know, he doesn't have a job in his face, mm-hmm. or you work for me, or you pay a bill, and that went on the entire
it
movie
does. And that was
all
low
the
blows.
Way up to the point where I didn't realize at the blow up. He said, let's not get it twisted.
My money.
If it wasn't for my money, you wouldn't have anything, uh-huh. any of this. So why do you feel like she had to?
I don't think she had to.
You see what I'm saying, though,
right? I just
think
that's the way that she chose to do it. And in that aspect, she did show signs of being a wife. Not a good one. But at the same time, again, you know, everything has a root cause. That was her anger coming out.
I feel like both of their toxicities led them to do things outside. Both of their toxicities led Marcus to do things outside of the marriage and led her to disrespect him in the marriage.
Yeah.
I think both of them being toxic to each other did that.
They both were very toxic.
Towards, yeah, each other.
Very toxic to the point where she slept with Walter, got VD, got her shot. But that's why she was like, well, was it Keisha? Like,
that's
she
crazy.
Was, because she already knew something was going on. And not to get into part two, but, you know, she calculates his driving. But because he wouldn't be honest. And that was fueling her. You know what I'm saying? So, now, I didn't say that was right. She should not have slept with Walter and give that man an STD and not say something and still trying to have sex with him at the cabin and being mad that...
Do you feel like the choke was enough or she had deserved to get...
I refrain from answering that question.
Woo! That's a lot. That's a lot.
I win, you know.
Because we're not just talking about the infidelity hurts, of
yeah.
course. But you go past that and now you're passing something
like
on
yep.
from the infidelity
yep.
and gloating about
yep.
it.
Boom.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, Angela was completely wrong for that. But I just appreciate how they were able to come to a common ground, at least at the end of that scene. You know what I'm saying?
And I wish Tyler Perry, I don't know, this probably, you'll never hear this. You should have picked a better Keisha. I'm sorry. Like, I watched the show, the follow-up show, because they did a spinoff. You did a good job. You redeemed yourself with the Keisha you picked in the show. But in the movie,
I guess maybe.
Jesus Christ.
But, you know, I have an appreciation for that form of Keisha. Not for the lady. I mean, I'm not saying anything about the lady that played the role, but the character, how she walked and how her hair was and stuff like that. Because sometimes men do cheat with women of what I would say of lesser quality.
That ain't just, hold up. That's not just,
crazy,
that wasn't just a
or
cheat.
Or the hood chick.
That was
or,
the baby mama.
Yeah.
Get it. All right.
Right. He intended to have no baby with her.
Pick a better look. Never mind.
But how do you think some females feel when they get cheated on by a woman that they think is beneath them or don't look as good as them?
I understand that.
That happens so much. So I think maybe that was trying to be captured of how they presented that first Keisha character.
That's a good point.
Because even in the scene, you know, Angela got a nice suit. I mean, nice dress suit, mm-hmm. hair, mm-hmm. Typical business casual, classy and stuff like that. And here Keisha come in with her jeans, outfit.
Real hood rat like.
Yeah, hood, and then.
There's some better looking hood rats out here.
Okay, dang.
Yeah, I'm just.
Sorry, I tried, Keisha. I tried to explain, the thoughts behind why they had you coming out there like that.
You're right. There's just some better looking hood rats.
Okay.
But.
So, yeah. Well, go ahead. Could you have a list?
No. But I think to your point, being that reason, they would stay together so long is because they were vulnerable and they were transparent. But as long as they keep that toxicity
at a negative,
yeah. I think they have what word am I looking for?
I don't know. The longevity?
Maybe? Yes.
I don't know. But I do think Marcus would leave Angela before Angela would leave Marcus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. You need to watch the show.
He leaves her in it.
I'm not telling you nothing. You just got to watch the show.
Tell me.
Watch the show.
Yeah, I don't got time to watch the show. You know my shows I backed
up on.
Watch
the Cliff Notes.
I'll try.
All right, the next couple we talk about. Gavin and Patricia.
They should be last.
No, I don't think. I got to like
Gavin
that for a reason.
Gavin and Patricia. So I'll let you dominate that one.
Okay, so. I think, this resonates with me for us particularly because, they appeared to their friends and to the world like the perfect couple. Mm. And I can see a little bit of that in us as well. The only difference that I see is I don't think that we masquerade as the quote unquote perfect couple without being transparent that we're not the perfect couple. I don't remember seeing them at all in that movie talk about. She did say, I remember Patricia saying, we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as letting people know like a little bit of what's going on in the closet, I'm not telling you to let people in your bedroom, but it's okay to crack the door just a tad bit to say, hey, this is what makes us not so perfect. They didn't talk about it. Even in the beginning of the movie, when the student, when Patricia was lecturing, asked, how's your marriage going?
Mm-hmm. She was
and
like,
then she was
right
like,
there.
My husband's right there. No answer. Mm-hmm. Straight He's avoidance. Like, where we got a flight to catch.
That's how we're doing.
They always covered it up. Mm-hmm. Instead of just wearing their relationship on their shoulder. Be like, hey, yo, this is rough. Hey, I'm still grieving the loss of my son. Sometimes my husband and I don't feel like being intimate. Sometimes we don't feel like showing up. Sometimes we don't feel like portraying the perfect couple. But at the end of the day, we still love each other and we're working through it. They never did that. So when it came time for how they really was feeling to come out, now they're trying to play cover up. Or they're trying not to let it boil over too much. Or they're trying to keep it in. And it's like, okay, now, if y'all would have just been honest from the beginning, especially with the passing of y'all son, how, Gavin, you really felt about Patricia making the mistake. Or Patricia, how you really felt like it was really your fault for not checking in. They just brushed over it like they did every other conversation about their relationship.
Gavin tried to make her talk about it.
Yeah, he did, but she was unwilling. But I don't know if it was because of the pressure that she felt because she was a psychologist and a relationship expert. I don't know if it was because
that
she...
I don't know what book she would have read that out of because that's not the guidance.
Or
that's
do people
giving.
Like her get so used to fixing everybody else that they miss out on the number one person that they're supposed to fix, which is themselves?
I got a bias against that, too.
What do you mean? Expound.
So for Patricia, for me, it's like having textbook,
Okay.
She gave a lot of, she could look at a situation. She could give a tool or technique to help somebody through a situation. Like she had the good terminology below the belt, 80-20 and all the other things that she that she said, even in the lecture, that they come and they meet at these couples retreats and they go over different things of how they can make the relationship better. But the application of it in her life was very distant or not, and not seen in her character. It's like she didn't apply how to communicate, but she knew she needed to.
But hold on. She did say, hey, we just remember when they were outside drinking hot chocolate and all this stuff. She was like, we just use the technique of fighting fair.
Yeah, but she don't fight fair. You know what I'm saying? Again, she has the book knowledge. She knows what's the steps, but she did not demonstrate
the application. Or writing the list?
Yeah, she told them to do it.
She said, we just did this.
Okay, but we didn't see that lived out. Okay. And we didn't see her actions is what I'm saying.
Okay.
You're right. When I look at Patricia, I see somebody who did not take time to process their hurt, never lost a child, don't know what that feel like, don't know what that process is feel
never
like.
Never want
to
know what but that feels like.
But when it comes
like,
to just concrete processes, we didn't see it in her character of how she processed it. She still couldn't look at a picture. She has her right to grieve the way that she wants to grieve, but then take a step back and be that transparent person. Say, you know what, guys? I am not in the space to edify anybody at this point.
Right.
Because I am still trying to figure out this. I haven't come to grip with what I need to fix for me. And you can't pour out of an empty cup.
That's really
and
good.
She continued to try to be that best face. She won a nomination and all of that. Through it all, her hurt and pain, she still was looking and appearing as if she was winning. And in some aspects she was, scholastically, winning awards, all of that jazz. But who she was dying every day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And she knew, you know, it was her fault. She just couldn't accept that it was her fault. And there are different stages to grief. So not only she had to grieve the loss of her son, she had to grieve the loss of her perfectionism and those standards that she held herself to. And I think that's what really, you know, was killing her character the most.
Right.
Is the standards that she placed on herself.
And she never bounced back and overcame it.
No.
And we'll see that in part two. But
yeah.
she never bounced back. I honestly, if I were to point the finger, and I don't like pointing the finger, but if I were to say, you know, who was really the issue in between them two, I would say it was her. I would say it was her. And the reason being I would say is because Gavin had a right to grieve the way how he grieved.
And
he had a right to go in confidence to his friend and cry for the loss of his son and say what he said.
He did.
To his friend.
Mm-hmm.
You can't then turn around and blame him because he blamed you. Just because you're afraid to deal with your mistake in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she didn't allow him to grieve the way that he needed to grieve. But because he loved her, he didn't take that to her. Because he knew how much that would hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
He kept that in private. Of course, it came out. But even after that, yes, it's going to hurt you. But this is the time to deal with it. So here we are in the kitchen. And he's trying to introduce the conversation now. The cat's out the bag. Let's talk about it. Here she is now still avoiding it. Not only are you mad at him because his process of grieving is his process, you don't even now want to confront it and talk about it like you're supposed to in a marriage. You're supposed to bring your hurts to the table. As uncomfortable as it is to talk about them, this is the time. Even if it starts out with screaming.
Yeah.
I would never suggest that,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes raw emotions can spark the conversation. If it starts that way, it starts that way. But after that, let's still have a heart to heart. This is why I'm hurt.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I feel like you hurt me, because I really do blame myself. I'm afraid to let him go. I'm afraid to even face the fact that he's gone.
Yeah.
I'm afraid
to
have another baby. She didn't talk at all.
Mm-mm.
And as much as he loved her, the only thing that he could do was be there for her.
That's it.
So she had her ranting, screaming, I blame myself. I thought I checked. And all he did was embrace her.
That's it.
You know, but
and then what she was saying, perfect Patty. I never had nobody call her perfect Patty throughout the show. But that
she called herself.
But that was an expectation that she had on herself. Or maybe, you know, in other arenas and spaces, that's how she's perceived.
But you can't live that way. You can't live that way in life, and you definitely can't live that way in a marriage.
And I can empathize with that because I will empathize with that because I have that pressure of being my version of perfect too.
Right.
You know, and just living out things a certain way because I have my own codes that I have written.
I feel like that I live by.
So, you know, and you know,
I hate failure, but I'm also not afraid to say that I did fail.
Well, again, you know, it's a little different when a life is lost because of that failure, and I could see how that's hard to process.
Yeah, I can see
that. You know what I'm saying? So I can see that. I got great empathy for Patricia's character, for Janet's character of Patricia. I can only imagine how many couples, there's a divorce rate statistics of relationships that are divorced after the loss of a child. You know, that's a real thing.
I wish you had that stat.
Oh, sorry.
Come as researcher.
I know. But feel free to look it up. Share. But yeah, but you know, that's some serious heartbreak.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, sometimes, you know, life doesn't allow us, and Patricia's life is being a, I believe she was either a speaker or a professor. Well, she was a professor. You know, and then in psychology, you know, not having that time to breathe, to think, to process.
Even doctors need doctors.
Yeah, and that is so true. And there's statistics on that too. So I feel really sorry for their character. Feel sorry for Gavin. He handled it the best way that he could, in my opinion.
Yeah. But we
we'll
deal with them a little bit more in the next episode. Mm-hmm. Third couple, Mike and Sheila, the funniest couple. Okay, it's not funny, but it's funny.
You would definitely be Mike.
You look like a
out of all of those husbands, which one you are closest to?
Terry.
You think you're closer to Terry?
Yes.
Tell him what you say if I had got fat.
Pause. I said something? I never said that. I never said anything about if you get fat.
I told you if I got really big, because remember I used to threaten you that I was going to get huge.
And what did I say?
Babe, you said you wouldn't be attracted to me.
Oh, I did say that.
So that's why you like Mike.
Okay, I was joking. That was JK.
So I can get big?
Okay, babe. Okay, let's not get it twisted. We have evolved.
We sure did.
Okay. Okay. So,
but what if you could tell I was joking? What if I was the only one that evolved and you didn't?
Then that means that at one point or another in the relationship, I stopped evolving with you.
Oh, so we evolved together.
Together, yeah. Because life changes, our bodies change. I had hair at one point. I don't have hair now. So what I'm saying in a relationship,
I require
you have to evolve with the person. And as we have seen with people that we have coached and relationships that we've watched from afar, people stop growing with one another. And that is why they don't accept now this new evolved person that's in front of them. It's like how you would hear people in relationships say, well, you're not the person I fell in love with. I shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I should not be the same person 15 years ago that I am now.
I mean, your core values can be the same. Of course.
But I'm talking about me as a person that has experienced life, going through pain and hurts and victories and losses. And that brings about change. But people don't like you growing with the change. So here you have Mike looking at Sheila as this person that he's not currently attracted to. But when did that start?
Right, because it took her a while to get there.
Took her a while to get there. Mm-hmm. So he stopped being attracted to her before she got there.
Yeah.
And my beef is not with Mike. My beef is with Sheila.
That's interesting.
My beef is with Sheila.
Please explain your beef with Sheila before I jump on Mike.
I feel like Sheila should have chose herself a long time ago.
Of course.
I feel like, and even if she had stayed married to him, she should have chose herself in love and show the love for herself in spite of him not giving it to her. If you wanted to change, you should have changed it for you, not for him. If you wanted to do better, you should have did it for you, not for him. I know how much you value marriage. And I'm not saying that even if you didn't want to get divorced, you didn't have to get divorced. But still choose you. And don't let him dictate how you feel about yourself. Like her whole self-worth, she said, I have nothing without him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you poor lady.
But I've been there.
Choose you.
I've been there with you.
I'm not saying you got to start over. Like if your money's tied up and everything, be strategic. But You should not have allowed that type of abuse to go on that long without you saying, yes, absolutely. You should have not allowed that much of abuse to go on without you identifying it, developing a strategy, choosing yourself. So when she's sitting looking dumb on the edge of the bed, trying to find that validation in a person that was not willing to give it to her and has not been there for years, I'm looking at you like, you sucker. Choose yourself. Okay, I love you and you love me. But I would hope that you would love you without my validation, because it shows, right? If you feel good, I feel good for you. You get dressed up and you put that red lipstick on for you. You love how it makes you feel. And because I see that, it makes me love it even more for you. But it would make me sad if you felt like you had to put that red lipstick on for me to love you. Mm. That's what I saw.
I get that.
Through her. And it should not be that way. Mm-mm. So I just... Sheila, you should have left a long time ago. And for any, you know, person that's in a situation like them, I would just encourage you, choose yourself if your mate ain't choosing you.
I think it's a complex process. I see.
Go ahead, show some grace. I know I was rough.
Because you mean. I understand Sheila because a certain aspect of that mindset she operated in, I lived out for years. Hmm. Now, he was no Mike when it comes to me. But when it came to me, you know, being thankful for the life that I have and the caliber of man that I'm married to,
right.
You know, I did have you on a huge pedestal.
Yeah.
Like, Jonathan can't do no wrong, you know, because... Now, granted,
and I was begging you to take me off that pedestal.
Yeah, you were. But from my mindset, because remember, there was phases to this relationship. So first I went to not wanting to accept him and then finding him to be such a safe place. I got comfortable and then living in that comfortability of, because now I gave you complete trust. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? So my guard is completely down. I have no worries. I'm living that true soft life. You know what I'm saying?
I can't stand when you learn
new words. I know. But to give myself to you and to feel good doing it, that's a high that to live on was amazing.
That makes sense.
You know, that peace. I don't have to worry about anything. And if something's lacking, I don't even have to know, because, you know, to have that security and knowing that everything is taken care of was very peaceful.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And for Sheila not to be on none of the real estate or to not, you know, have her own bank account or not even make her own money. I mean, they didn't even have children and she was able to relinquish it all, because it was something about who Mike was before his change happened, before he became very resentful. I believe he provided and he loved on her and he did those things. And in her desperation to trying to get back there, you know, she still was very hopeful because the years that they enjoyed each other. And then, you know, towards the end, when he saw her again, you know, the look in his eyes was different. It was like, oh, that's the Mike that I love, Sheila. Mm-hmm. Now, because, you know, he built up his resentment and it looked different. But to see him at the end, you know, I like seeing that version of Mike.
That soft side. I didn't.
He wanted the. For me, it was like, that's the Mike that he probably was before. Another caveat to it is the religious piece. When you're not, and I'm only speaking for.
I know you're trying to be careful, but just say what you got going to say.
I'm speaking for me and Sheila. I'm not talking about every person that's a Christian,
okay,
or how all Christian wives live this out. But because I have been there as well, is that I'm going to do, or I lived in a way that I was not going to disappoint what I thought God wanted for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So if I'm in this marriage, I can't turn back now because you are all that there is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You are next in line to God in my life. And I'm going to do everything that I can do in my willpower to make sure that I don't break this bond that I believe that's God, divine, God ordained. Sheila makes kept sense. Saying, I'm going to save my marriage. You know, I'm going to do this. She didn't, even when Mike had, when she had, when Trina told her to buy that night, that lingerie, you know, she didn't storm out the room because she was being that sacrificial lamb, whatever it takes for my marriage to heal. You know what I'm saying? When she went to dinner that next day, she acted as if nothing was wrong. You know? She's still trying to hook up Trina and,
Troy.
Troy. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, she's still...
that's why I still got a problem with her. I know,
but at the same time... so gullible. What do you... it's not... is it really being gullible when your faith has taught you that?
Yes.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm not showing empathy.
No.
But I'm not showing empathy. I'm sorry.
Faith taught her that that's how I'm supposed to approach a situation. Her faith taught her to be that forgiving. Her faith taught her, you know, to be that trusting.
But did it teach her to be that naive to allow your attractive single girlfriend to accompany you on your trip, sit by your husband?
I'm not saying that it was rational. All I'm saying is that in those Jesus decisions, Christ. I could see how her...
so her she operated faith. In faith and not discernment.
Right. I can say that. I can agree with that.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
I know,
but
that's
in
the
all thy things, getting.
Get an understanding. Come on, Proverbs.
Now. But I didn't see her operate in that whatsoever.
Yeah, but then that's also another, you know, another ding at religion. It's like you're taught certain things to do. You're taught certain behaviors, but you're not taught principle behind them.
Right.
You know, I don't hear it being drilled across the pulpit, not saying it, people that do, about getting wisdom and getting the principle thing. Mm-hmm. And getting an understanding. You're always taught someone else's understanding.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, again, that's the understanding that she was taught, is that I fight for my marriage. I go to God for my marriage. My marriage is going to work out. I have the faith for my marriage to work. That's the only thing that they teach.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then it depends on some religious circles. And, you know, we come from Pentecostalism. You know, it's shorn upon to get divorced.
Shorn?
I'm going to say frown.
There we go. Good job.
But I'm talking about the S-H-O-R-N word, I think. But shorn.
Baby, just say frowned.
Frowned upon to still get divorced in certain religious circles. It depends on, you know, how you interpret or how you use your doctrine. So,
yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's still, it wasn't, she was so weak.
She was.
It's, okay.
But now, Mike.
No.
We not going to Mike?
What were we going to Mike for? I ain't got nothing for Mike.
Nothing?
I have nothing Mike, for Mike.
Mike can write new laws and everything.
Mike was funny, but Mike was trash. I have nothing for Mike. Mike did exactly what Mike was supposed to do. He allowed his nature of a man to overtake his common sense and his loyalty that he was supposed to display.
That's why I wish that it went more into their history, Mike and Sheila. Because Mike still had to get there. You know, when I think about...
it's not hard to get there with somebody that looks like Trina that's always in your face. See, he had a distraction. And he allowed the distraction to overtake
him. You
really
think Trina was the first one? If you believe in the law, that if your wife ain't giving you something, that you...
I'm not saying that, but we only
have... he probably ain't want it.
No, but we don't know how long that thing with him and Trina were going on. It seemed like it was going on for a long time. So, you know, how long was her and Trina friends?
I don't know.
See what I'm saying?
But can we talk about Trina?
I wanted to. That's why I was going to.
Go ahead.
Now, I was saying watching this movie this time, I said, what kind of person have to be sleeping with your good friend's husband while you're trying to give her pointers and how to get back sexy with her husband? You're an evil person, bro. Like, I mean... not even at the slightest of the word. Like, you're evil. You know that you are sleeping with her husband.
And the audacity to come to her best friend's, like, what was her and Mike thinking?
I don't blame, okay, Mike is stupid, but Mike is a man. And I know it always seems like I give excuses to men that kind of, I don't. I just understand man nature. Mm-mm. But nature doesn't give you an excuse to act out. Speaking from personal experience. All I'm saying is Mike did what Mike did because Mike is a man.
Okay, that's
so I can look past excuse. That. Mm-hmm. But Trina,
I can't.
The so intuitive,
okay. I can look
the
past
woman,
Trina.
the friend.
Mike, the loyalty to the friendship of the group and to the wife comes from Mike. Trina does not owe Sheila anything.
Yes, she does.
And
I got in an argument at my
Trina
job about this.
Trina does not owe Patricia nothing. She doesn't owe Diane anything. Trina is an outside factor.
No, Trina is a good friend.
To who? To Mike?
To Sheila. She does owe Sheila something.
Not above what Mike owed to Sheila in their circle of friends.
Okay. I'm not saying that she owes something above Mike. That's her. That's
all
the
I'm
husband.
Saying the loyalty
but
to
Sheila.
But
she owes loyalty
starts,
to Sheila.
Okay. But the loyalty starts with Mike.
I agree.
Okay.
Mike, that's why I said I don't have nothing for him. He's trash.
And
he's absolutely trash.
And the honesty, I never believe, after watching this, that Trina was even friends with Sheila. Sheila was just, how you say, gullible and nice. And however that situation happened. But you don't do that to a friend. That person's not your friend.
You don't.
Yeah. So the loyalty isn't expected because Trina was never a friend to Sheila.
So I blame Sheila more than Mike.
Okay.
Bingo.
I blame Mike for it all. Because if everything rises and falls in leadership, and he's supposed to be the dominant person and all of
Mike
that.
I blame Mike too, honey.
And another reason why I blame Mike is because you wouldn't operate like that.
No,
I wouldn't. You're my measuring stick.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Let me clarify what I mean. If we're going on a couples trip,
mm-hmm.
and I don't care how much you love my one of my friends. She's not single, but she's not married. If we're going on a couples trip and I wanted to bring Shay with me, Shay is in a relationship. She's just not married. And say her mate couldn't make it. You would be like, nah, Shay ain't coming. You know what I'm saying?
You have to learn how to switch names.
Switch names?
It's all right.
I didn't say her mate's
it's
name.
It's out there now, but you got to learn.
But Shay is my... one of my best friends. And she is like my only friend that's not married.
You could have said anything. You could have said Tracy.
Oh.
You could have said Elizabeth. You could have said
Elizabeth.
Danya. I don't know.
They didn't have to know I had a real friend named Shay until you say something. But yeah, Shay isn't married, but she is in a relationship. But if
Christ.
I was to, if we were to go on a couples retreat and she was coming by herself, you'd be like, no.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So again,
mm-hmm.
that's Mike's fault. Mike wanted her there.
Right.
And I don't think Sheila came up with that idea for Trina to come by herself.
I believe it. I believe in how gullible Sheila was. She honestly thought she was doing something good for her friend.
No, I do think so. But let's go to the plane tickets. Sheila said she bought the tickets months ago. I think Sheila bought only her ticket. Because how her seat is in the middle of another row and Mike and Trina together. You ain't buying them during tickets.
Said, I told her big ass was way months ago. That's not funny.
Mike sits in the middle and Sheila has those two seats. And Trina say, man, I can't make
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That's what it should have been. But again, if he wasn't trash and he was a husband like he was supposed to.
No, he was comfortable.
He would have made that seating arrangement because I would have done the same thing. Something that is inbred or should be inbred. In a man that takes the role of a husband is duty and responsibility. So it is my duty to make sure that you're taken care of. So if your size is an issue and you need two seats, then I become a sacrifice. I would drive if I even had to. Or I would move around like how you said, switch the seating range. Whatever
well,
I had to
you
do.
You would say, it look like I'm make it.
Just stay. Oh yeah.
Or you make me come home too. We just cancel.
Yeah.
Catch y'all another time.
Yeah, but I'm not about to let you ride Dolo up there to the cat. Like, what? Just trash, man.
Definitely
trash.
Okay, Terry and Diane.
Last but not least, because we already at an hour.
Dang. Well, you gotta edit a little bit and stuff.
Yeah, but Terry and Diane. This the one hit home for us.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the one hit home for us.
I mean, I see a lot of myself in Diane because I am the workaholic in the relationship.
Yeah.
I do have issues with boundaries when it comes to like my work schedule, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I am trying to get better. I have been more present in the home most days and things like that.
You're doing real good. Real good.
But yeah, so I definitely see myself in Diane, and I do see you responding like Terry. Like if I had a secretary calling after you say call, you know, you might get my phone take at this point.
Oh yeah. Yeah, give me nah, we're not doing that. We are here because we don't get enough time with each other. We both work 12-hour days. But he was like, I'm still home by 5, which I don't understand how 12 hours calculate him still being home by 5 or whatever, but maybe he leaves earlier in the morning.
I don't know.
But anyways, they both work. They both are professionals. They only have one child, but they don't see each other. So the one time they have carved out for each other, you know, you should devote yourself. If you really was into this marriage the way you supposed to be, you should have carved out that time and made it a priority. But she didn't, which makes me wonder, why are you married? It took her having to write a list.
I think that's a good technique to figure out.
I don't like
Diane's character, though.
I don't at all.
Okay, let me tell you why. Okay, let me not say that. I do like Diane's character.
You sure? It gets worse in 2.
No, I know. I understand Diane's character.
Okay.
But I also can see through Diane's character. Mm. And Terry is a convenience to Diane. Like, Diane is a side of me that I had to, like, constantly kill. Mm-hmm. Because that side is not marriage. Diane only agreed, and this is my belief, not Tyler Perry didn't say this. Diane only, you know, at the end when him and Monica was her secretary. But at the end when Terry had his own apartment and he was like, well, she's pregnant.
Right.
And Diane said, we'll work it out or whatever.
Right.
She only was going to work it out because, in my opinion, is that she didn't want to deal with the discomfort of not having Terry.
So why, what was the comfort of having him? There was no need. Think about it. They only had one child.
They did.
She made really good money because she was a partner at a law firm. Mm-hmm. So why else did she need him?
Okay, I may can't articulate it, but I was at a point of that in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
When I was, there was a point that I did not want to be married anymore, right? But the convenience of being married to you is what got me over that rough part, right? Because I would have to disrupt my life to not be married to you. She came over there, right? She came over to Terry's house or whatever. Because
Hold on. And just for clarity, inconvenience, you mean monetarily?
No, not necessarily monetarily.
Okay.
But, you know, who's going to get the daughter? Because Diane wasn't available. Mm-hmm. Like, who's going to do all these extra things? Because, you know, Terry is home by 5. He was like, you don't even pick up your daughter. His assistant had to do that. You know, she missed deadlines. And the fact is that she was a partner in her law firm. She doesn't have the time. So in order for her life to run as smoothly, she needed that partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I felt with our marriage at one point. You know, it's like, man, I could leave. Man, oh, he done pissed me off. This is after coming out of our infidelity time is what I'm referring to be specific. And it was like, okay, so now if he's not here, okay, I gotta have my mama come over to do this and that. You know, it was just all the extra responsibilities that I would have to take on to separate from you. It would made life hard. So even though me and you weren't talking all the time, we still slept in the same room, but we was like emotionally distant. But you still was making sure the kids got to eat, and I still was able to do what I needed to do. It was like we didn't break up the system.
Right.
And I think for her, the system that Terry provided, at least from my perspective and from my past experience, I think that's what she didn't want. Mm-hmm. I think she only agreed to if that lady was pregnant is because, not just because she loved him, because she probably did, but it was because of the inconvenience it would cause her.
I could see that, but I also feel like she was in fear of losing him completely because he was on the way out. And I don't think that she wanted to lose him.
No, and if the tables was turned, if I wasn't mad at you and you were mad at me, I wouldn't want to lose you either. Mm-hmm. So I do get that. You know, if she wanted to walk away from the situation, you know, I think it would have played out different.
Yeah.
But because she was the offender, mm-hmm. I think she just wanted to write that.
Okay, so digging in a little bit of their relationship. He wanted another child. Mm-hmm. She didn't. She got her tubes tied, didn't tell him. And on top of that,
withholding sex.
Withheld sex. Mm-hmm. Trash. Do you
agree? Now you're tweeting my trash.
No, I'll show you the creator that does that.
Oh, really?
Trash.
Man.
Yeah, I can't remember his name off top of my head. But geez. Do is there an excuse? I could understand the tube tied, even though I don't understand.
I can understand the tube tied. She giving it up like wildfire. Like, man, I can't get pregnant.
I can't get pregnant. I don't know just what lie happened. About it. I don't know. The Lord just ain't blessed. I don't care what you say, but you don't deny your body on
and
top
try
of
to
you.
Fix fine arguments.
And fine argument on top of you already getting your tube tied. To me, she just showed through that, through. You know, forgetting about his birthday. She did not love him. No, forget not caring.
She loved the convenience of
that's
having
it, but
him.
Didn't love him. Mm-mm. And it's going to go on in part two. Mm-hmm. But I don't think she ever loved that man.
I just think he is a really good man.
That's it.
And the support that he provides.
That's it.
Is good. But that's I it. Don't see.
I see Terry and Sheila character being similar.
Yes.
I see them. I see because Sheila wanted to fight for her marriage because, you
know.
No,
it didn't take Terry long.
No, not at all because he didn't have religion kind of dangling over his head. Mm-hmm. But they both tried to fight, but they were not appreciated in their marriage whatsoever. Mm-mm. And you see Terry making the hard decision to choose himself. And I feel like Sheila should have did the same thing. But Terry, for the man's role and character, did a really good job showing restraint and self-control.
He did.
Like a really...
I wouldn't have.
I think he should have done more than just throw her phone against the wall. Flip.
Oh, we know.
She'd flip the mattress. Do something else.
You didn't have to flip the mattress.
I'm being PC because I can't say what I want to say. But like he showed great restraint.
He did.
His birthday, and then the audacity to not even come with a gift.
I know, right?
And then blame his assistant and him having an affair and tell her not to come back.
Don't you come to this house ever again.
Broad, where you been? You have not been there this entire time. You're not here now. And you're going to come in here accusing. And you ain't even got a gift. I can understand if you accuse, you got a gift.
And then he say, that's the same woman that picks up your daughter after school when you leave. I had to work. What do you want
from me?
Wow. Oh, she did a Tyrese line. I just.
What do you want from me? But you have to ask that. You have to ask that. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be mad. Can you agree that not everybody just needs to be married?
I can agree.
Should she be married?
Based on the evidence of her character, she does not want to be married.
You know one thing.
But hold on, let me say this last thing. I think everybody is capable of marriage. I do. I just don't think that that's something that everybody try to achieve.
I think everybody is capable of doing a lot of things.
Yeah, but that we're doesn't not mean talking, gonna,
right?
We're not talking about capacity.
We're not talking about capacity. We're talking about should you?
Should.
I'm capable of robbing a bank based on our account and our history of finances right now.
Oh, dang.
Okay.
You capable?
I'm capable, yes.
We can plan.
I'm capable. That don't mean I should exercise that capacity.
That's true.
You understand what I'm saying?
But this is different for marriage.
Is it though?
Yeah, because it's self-work.
I am sure. I love love. And we are trying to build a brand around love. But I also am not given to naivety at all. Not everybody is meant to be married.
No, I don't think everybody is going to be married.
I don't think everybody's meant to be married, man.
But, and I honestly. And I also believe that everyone's not lovable. And I just think that's just because of where they are at in their life. Could they achieve it? Yes. Will they do the work for it? That's another story.
And that's what I think I'm trying to say is that she's not willing to do the work. She's not willing to do it in part one and in part two.
In part one, she ended with trying to do it. She did.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. She said, we'll work through whatever.
Yeah.
But that don't mean nothing because the best apology is change behavior. We're not going to see that change behavior. Think about it.
I ain't know where you're going.
Yeah. But.
So, but why did they get married? I don't know why did they get married.
I don't know why.
And I don't think they know why they got married. It's just marriage was just the next step because they had just finished college, starting their careers. And what's next? Marriage.
That's it. But that ain't enough. Mm-mm. And it shouldn't be enough. Well, I think we did a good job.
I didn't cough.
I cleared my throat a couple times.
Me too. I end up having to clear my throat too.
I told you not to kiss me.
I'll kiss you. I love kissing you.
Of course.
But yeah. Well, another part is that we're never introduced to their family. Like, we don't know their family dynamics.
Right.
We just
And that plays a part in everything.
Yeah, that plays a part in it. You know, it's just...
It's a lot.
It's so many holes and gaps. When it comes to like understanding relationship dynamics, that you have to like, okay, that's where that comes from.
Right.
You know? But it's good.
It's good.
Why did I get married?
Part one.
Because I love you. Is love enough?
No.
We got married because we feel that it was our purpose to do. We had a message.
Before love, there has to be purpose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the questions in the beginning establishes the purpose. Like, where do you see us going? You know, do you want kids? All of that is developing the purpose. Like, it has to be that before the love is introduced. If y'all ain't going down the same road, if y'all purposes aren't aligned, then I don't think you guys even need to discuss the topic of marriage at all. We stay together because we not only... discovered and established that purpose, but that purpose became the driving force when love was absent.
Facts. Because even during that period of time that I was talking about when I did not want to be married to you, it was constantly facing, so what does the future look like? Because I still, how can I still believe in this vision? Mm-hmm. And that's another reason why I thought, oh man, he brainwashed me, you know, and things like that. But it was just something that I just couldn't bring myself to do because it's like, this can't be it.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? Credit to my mom because, you know, she just had a way of talking you through stuff without telling you what to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And she was just like, don't make no hasty move now. I know you mad. Or things like that. Or,
you need that balance.
Yeah. You know, watch out now. And then when she wasn't mad at you, it was like whose side you on?
She never told me she was mad at me.
No, because she wasn't.
The most that your mom told me, she said, just don't do it again.
Mm-hmm, that was it.
That was the most she told me. But she never like, I just appreciated it. Anyway. Yeah.
Having, again, going to the relationship side of it, you know, people in your life that knows you and the other person so well.
Yeah.
And give you the space. You know, all they had was each other. And it don't seem like them having each other was really forming safe spaces for anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So again, who else did they have?
Who
was Patricia talking to that made her feel like a perfect Patty? Because I know as a psychologist, you're not taking in things from the world and interpreting it in your life.
It had to come from the home.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, you know, the stresses of the expectations from her father or her mother.
Something had to have been there that come up with that. So it's just so many dynamics to come out. And then to realize that they are the characters, but we live these people out every day.
That's why I love taking these movies and breaking them down the way that we do, because it can relate to real life and you can find little things that you can talk about that just points to relationships, and we're a relationship podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You think we did?
I think we did all right.
So part one, we appreciate y'all being on. be looking forward to part two. But in the meantime, we'll see y'all on the flip side.
Peace.
Peace.